Welcome to a very special edition of Atlas, the amazing, crappy podcast I throw together every so often. thanks. Anyway, great intro that. Yeah, so moving on from my last episode, which I recorded earlier today, this is the Halloween special. This is the one I've been building up to. If you've been listening the past couple of episodes, I've been dropping little hints and little Easter eggs there for you for this, and I'm really excited to get into it. It's actually talking about a film that it's just so good. I mean, you really, really can't get any better than this. And I don't think it'll ever get beaten. We'll see what Blumhouse does, because apparently they're making a trilogy. So they're redoing the Exorcist, the first Exorcist, but they're also doing a trilogy. So whether they're going to fix Legion into this it remains to be seen. However, my Halloween special this year is all about the absolutely exquisite horror film known only as The Exorcist 3. Yeah, you can have a round of applause. I was going to put some music and stuff on there, but I did it on my last episode, and Anchor doesn't actually allow you to pull the software off your phone. Not what the way I can do it anyway, as in like edit it then and there. So the sound bites are really here, there and everywhere. I think one of the things I'm going to do in the new year, or especially over Christmas, is look at doing the sound editing for these. But I'm hoping to see, obviously, Anchor actually got some, they're going to be doing some video podcasts, I think, they're trying out, which I'm looking forward to doing that, which means I don't have to do all this. I can edit film well, I can edit video as well, so hopefully that'll be good for these episodes. Sorry, I got off on a tangent. Anyway, so Halloween special 2021, Exorcist 3, the seminal sequel to the original Exorcist. So the Exorcist was written by William Peter Blatty. Unfortunately, he's not with us anymore. But damn, that guy can rest in peace, well, because he gave us two of the scariest horror films of all time and the scariest story of all time. Now, William Peter Blatty wrote the first Exorcist, and as many of you of a horror ilk will know, the Exorcist went on to become one of the, well, dubbed, it's like, I think it's actually on the poster nowadays, that is the scare, billed as the scariest film of all time. However, straight after that, the producers and all the lovely bigwigs up in around the big desks decided it'd be great to have an Exorcist 2. And the Exorcist 2, The Heretic, is one maniacal piece of shit. Don't go watch it. It will ruin your view on everything you know about Exorcist. Please don't watch it. I will say that again. This is a public service announcement. Please do not watch the Exorcist 2. It is bad. All right. I've only ever seen it once. I will never see it again. Please don't watch it. All right. That being said, The Exorcist 3. Now, The Exorcist 3 is originally called Legion. The book William Peter Blatty wrote is called Legion. And I read the book after I watched the film. And I did enjoy the book, but the film is just too good. It is just too good. I mean, it was made in 1990, so released in 1990. So a really quiet time for filming. There's not many. I mean, afterwards you've got the renaissance of CGI and all the lovely effects that I would say were perfected by a little film called Jurassic Park, coming out a little bit 3 years later. But this film is all practical. From what I can remember, I did watch it I watched it last month, just to refresh my memory for doing this and get my notes down on this. From what I remember, everything is practical. Everything is done in camera. I think there's some lightning strikes in it somewhere. I mean, use your common sense. as far as I'm concerned, they didn't, or as far as I know, they didn't put lightning in a bottle and use it in there. But this is lightning in a bottle as a horror film and as a film in general. All right, I've recently done my top 10 horror films, and in that I speak about atmosphere and how atmosphere in some of my favorite films are literally jumping off the screen. And this film is the coup de grace. It is the film of atmosphere, the suspense, the way the world's built, and just how fucking creepy it is. It is just, it's unnerving. I struggle. I mean, a lot of films, it takes a lot to scare me, especially with film. I mean, obviously, the scary things in the real world than what's going on in films at the moment, always has been. But films, it takes a lot to scare me. I cannot watch this film in a house by myself. I just can't do it. It creeps me out too much. I watched it in the middle of the day at one point, when I was living down south, and I just couldn't. I'm glad I went out that afternoon because I couldn't have stayed in. It just creeped me out so much. And yeah, I mean, I'm banging on about. Let's get into it. Well, let's discuss why I'm discussing this film, because I'm giving it all this who this yeah oh yeah this is great this is great. But that, let's dissect it. Let's understand why it's so good. So, story follows straight on from the original Exorcist, and it's a detective story. Right, basically to scrub out all the supernatural elements of it. It is a detective story, and that's straight away. That's one thing. That's one tick. Box off man ticked. Now, if you actually watch Exorcist 3, you might be able to draw a comparison to the film Seven. I hate Seven. It's loud. It's obnoxious. The twist at the end is just. You can see it coming. I'm sorry. When I first watched Seven, I didn't hear about the twist or anything. I just watched it, and the ending was like, oh, yeah. And then everyone I spoke to about it afterwards was like, oh my God, did you think? I like, yeah. And but that film has a lot of pointers of oh yeah, it did this right, it did that right. The detective thriller. They looking into some religious way, like they looked at Dante's Inferno and the seven levels of hell, the seven deadly sins, and it borrowed a lot from The Exorcist 3. If you watch those two back to back, you will see a lot of similarities that Seven takes with The Exorcist. Exorcist 3 did it first, and for a few, for all intents and purposes, it did it better. I'm really sorry for to fans of Seven out there and who like staring at Brad Pitt screaming at a box, but I'm sorry, The Exorcist 3 did it way better. It did it first. I mean, it's just the film follows George C. Scott, who I think I can't remember correctly, but I'm sure he said either it was a Razzie or something that he said it was one of the worst acting thing. I completely disagree. It's one of the best acting, I've seen, akin to, maybe Daniel Day-Lewis and Joaquin Phoenix, in Gangs of New York and Joker, respectively. He's fantastic in this. Brad Dourif in this as the Gemini Killer is unbelievable. The monologues he gives and the way he presents him are so creepy, and it just gets under your skin. And this, again, it's totally overlooked, and I'm glad. There has been a bit more of a, with the internet, and everything nowadays, and social media, people are starting to twig on, with this film, and it's getting a bit more traction. It's still not there. I still think it's cult status as it is at the moment. So really, you need to go treat yourself to it. But George C. Scott basically plays the detective from the first Exorcist film, and he's following the string of murders that are attached to an unknown killer. We later found out it's the Gemini Killer. Now, the Gemini Killer was caught and killed by the police years ago, but all of a sudden he's back, but he's not supposed to be back. And then there's Father Damien Karras from the first film of it, first Exorcist, sorry, who shows up, and it's about their stories intertwining. It's about faith, religion, you know, who can you trust? But it's just, it's the subliminal. The film does, there's a, I think it's why, well, it is, I'm, it's not, I think it's, it is, it's written in fact, this is why Jaws works so well. Now, obviously, everyone who knows me knows that I'm a huge Jaws fan, so I will say to you, Jaws worked because the shark didn't work, and you watch any documentary on it, that's, that was the film's big thing. If the shark, that shark worked, I don't think Jaws would have the same impact or have the same impact it does today, or would not be the big box office success it was. It's because we didn't see this shark, and our minds filled in the gaps to what was going on below the surface, what the hell was happening to people. And it's the same with this film. Now, this film, there is blood in it, and it's, it is gory. Very, very, I mean, there are moments that where you think, bloody hell. There's a scene with the priest at the end where his flesh gets torn off. I mean, Christ. But other than that, most of the film is, it's, we always, well, God, I think there's a, oh, there's a stage saying, I think it's something like, arrive early, exit late, or arrive late, exit, I think it's arrive late, exit early. It might be that, I don't know. Well, you can quote me, I don't know. But basically, we build up to a murder, and then we only hear what happens in the aftermath of it, or what's happened. One of the great scenes in it that I love, there's a, the scene opens up with something's happened by a dock, and it involves a small boy, and your man thinks, now nothing horrific's happened to him. And later on, George C. Scott's character, Kinderman, is talking to a priest. He's one of his best friends. The priest is trying to clear him up, and they've gone for a meal. And they're talking about faith and religion, their beliefs and everything. And then all of a sudden, George C. Scott just comes out with the details of this murder. And it, the acting's fantastic, because it totally shatters the priest's view that he's just said, oh yeah, you know, God's this, God's that, and everything. And then the Kinderman just comes out that this boy had two ingots, you know, hammered into his both of his eyes, and then his head was cut off. And that's happened to a little kid, and you just think, oh my God, that's terrifying. We don't see any of it, which is, well, not that I'm saying I want to see, I don't want to see anything like that. But the fact that it's left to us, that it's described to us, and then they go one step further. So, there's another scene with another priest who is attacked in a confession booth. Now, we only ever see the build-up and then the sudden aftermath. There is a really quick, creepy shot of blood running down with this. The score going on through this film is unbelievable. And we never really hear what happens to him. I didn't know what happened to him until I saw a production photo of the priest holding his head. It's a photo on set that it was basically cut from the film. But again, it's that subliminal thing of, we don't know what's going on, but we know whatever's gone on is absolutely horrific. And we don't see the killer. We don't see any of the killer killing. There is one scene in it, it's about midway through, and it's probably what the film is famous for. Now, the film is famous for the hallway scene. Now, anybody who knows, even, you know, earns their salt as a horror fan, knows about this scene. It is the most effective jump scare ever. Mood is used correctly. Cinematography is used correctly, timing is used correctly, and music, I cannot stress enough, music, the score is used to perfection, all right? Most of these films, so I've just got, I'll throw this, I put The Conjuring 2 on my top 10 films, horror films. Now, The Conjuring 2 and all these, I mean, most Hollywood films, they have these jump scares in them that, I'll be honest, 95% of them, it's the noise of the stupid score going dum, you know, really loudly, and you just like that, whatever just happened on screen, yeah, it was scary, but it wouldn't make me jump. It's the stupid noise they put over it that, you know, I'm actually scared of. The Exorcist 3 does it correctly. So, we've got a long, drawn-out view of this hallway with a nurse. Now, if you're actually listening to a scene prior to this, the Gemini has explained that he only kills people with the letter K. Or, I think it's Josie Scott's character that explains that he only kills people with the letter K starting the name. So, it's a really small detail. But when you halfway through this hallway scene, the nurse goes in thinking she heard something, and it's actually some ice and melting, and it's the cracking of the ice that she goes to investigate, and that's what she finds out. But she disturbs a patient. The patient says, "Oh, I'm going to complain. What's your name?" And she says, "Amy Keating." And then all of a sudden, you just twig. If you've been listening correctly, you twig and think, "Hold on, her last name's Keating, begins with a K." And it's one of the Gemini killers things, to kill people that their names start with a K. And you just think, hold on a minute, something's going to go on here. And then it draws out again. And I think the scene is something like two or three, it might even be longer, minutes long, where we just hold on the same shot of air in this hallway. It goes on and on and on and on. And then eventually, one of the creepiest fucking things I've ever seen on camera is she closes the door, and then all she's walking away, and then all of a sudden this door opens, and this huge 6 or 7 foot bloke, he's basically got a bed sheet over his head, all right, but he's got these massive shears. Okay, again, alluded to early in the film that some old ones have gone missing, and they've had to, you know, bring in some new ones for operation purposes, for surgery purposes. Again, you don't know why that scene's there until later on. But it's the snap zoom. All right, you see something happen, it's the snap zoom that gets you. Because you've been held on this for so long, it's so effectively done. And then you get the music. The second the snap zoom happens, the score then kicks in. And it's a loud but droning noise. And then it cuts to a headless statue in the hospital. So all of a sudden your mind's thinking, oh my God, something horrific has just happened to this poor nurse. And it's just, again, I'd even go as far to say, if you don't want to watch the film, go and watch that scene, but watch it with your headphones in, you know, watch it by yourself and just experience it. It's so well done. It's the best jump scare ever. I have never seen a jump scare better than that in a film. I don't think I ever will. I know that's a lot. I know hindsight's a wonderful thing. I'll go see bloody Halloween Kills, and it'll be, oh yeah, Michael had a great jump scare. Nah, well, that will happen. But yeah, but there. I mean, it's so good. I think the poster, one of the new posters they've done for it recently, I think Arrow Video did it. Is it a Gorse? I can't remember what it's called. Bloody Goros. I can't remember what the production guys are called, but they basically used that scene on one of the posters. That's how iconic it is. The fact that scene is so well known and it's so scary, they're using it as marketing material. It's just fantastic. But again, I think let's. I mean, I've explained, you know, a bit about the plot and jump scares, Scott. I think I've got to cover why it's scary and why I find it scary. I think I've got to go back to what I believe in. Again, I don't want to go too heavy in this because it's a very touchy subject with some people. So I'm going to gloss over it just to be respectful to everybody's opinion on the matters. But religion is a big one. I'm not overly religious. I mean, I don't go to church every Sunday, but I do believe in certain things. Okay, and I think that helps me get more scared of this film because it's what I believe in, and some of the imagery in it is very evocative. It's very off-putting, but I just like being. We as human beings like being scared. We're drawn to things that scare us, And I think it's another one of these instances where I keep coming back to this film. It just creeps me out. There's just something about it. And I think that's why I love it so much. It's because I can't explain it. Because there's just something about this film that just creeps me out. But, I mean, it's got all the elements are, like, being like a detective serial killer, and that's mixed in with supernatural religion and supernatural essence. And then that supernatural essence is mixed in with the church, and it's about religion, belief, and faith. This film is a cocktail for everything I love. I mean, there's a film that's getting a lot more attention nowadays called Prisoners. This film's like 8 years old at this point, but it's getting more of a traction and people are seeing it. And it's not religious or anything. It's about Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, and basically Hugh Jackman's I think his daughter goes missing or is kidnapped. And it's just a detective story, but it's absolutely brilliant. It really is. But just imagine that, the way I see it, it's imagining that film with supernatural elements sprinkled on top of it, with religion on top of it. That's basically The Exorcist 3 to me. It's that good. And I can't really say anything more. I can only tell you why I love it, why I hold it in such high regard. But it's up to you. It's up to you to decide whether you want to go watch it, whether it's your cup of tea. Yeah, some parts of it are very dated nowadays. But I mean, with Netflix, and I mean, this would blow up if it was on Netflix. I think people would eat it up. Especially with Halloween. It's not going to happen, obviously, this Friday, you know, for the time of the weekend. But in the future, you know, I think this film is going to live longer. I think it's going to boom at one point. I think all of a sudden you're going to hear people put it up on lists that are incredibly scary. And it had a great base to jump off of. I mean, the original Exorcist is scary. I know horror is subjective, like many other things. But I find The Exorcist scary. I just find The Exorcist 3 a lot scarier. And that's really as much as I can say on the greatest horror film ever made. So thank you for listening, guys. This is kind of a continuation. This is kind of a part two of my top 10. Because I didn't want to, obviously, I don't want to spoil that episode if you haven't listened to it already. But number one is The Exorcist 3 for my top 10 horror films. That will never change. I'm very excited about the Blumhouse productions. If they get the turn right, the turn has to be right. The theme has to be right, first and foremost. I really hope they don't go down the route of all these cheap exorcism films that you see about, you know, these possession films that you see. Possession films, for me, are ironic, I find them really boring. There's no effort or anything. You just say to someone, oh yeah, you're possessed, and they slap some makeup on you, and you look a bit creepy, and you do some weird contortionist things with your hands, and that's, you're possessed. You know, it's not creepy. They're totally missing the point of why The Exorcist was creepy, because it had layers, just like onions. Thank you, Shrek. There you go, Shrek and The Exorcist in the same one. Bet you didn't see that coming. So, yeah, to round things off, The Exorcist 3, just the highest standard you can get. And it's also the end of Scarecast. I've done three episodes on this. I've actually done two today, which I was meant to do one last week. And I got to a point where I thought, I haven't really got the time. I've got other stuff to do. And then it got later and later in the week, and it's got today. I thought, oh my God, it's Halloween on Friday. See what I mean? Friday. Halloween on Sunday. I need to get these out for Halloween. Yeah, I know not a lot of people listen to them, but I like doing them. And that's the whole point. I'm doing something I enjoy. So thank you very much. I'm going to take a little break because I've got a lot that I want to do with my to do with work and personal life in November and getting ready for Christmas. So I'm going to see you guys in December with a couple of Christmas. We're going to, just as a little nugget, we're going to go through my top. I don't know if I have got a top 10 favourite Christmas film rundown, but I'm definitely going to do a top five, I think. Top five best Christmas films. And just an episode on Christmas in general. Just why I love Christmas. But don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. We're still in October. We haven't had Halloween yet. Let's enjoy the scares, and I want everyone to stay safe out there. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.